Heavenly Father, we come to give you all the glory for all you've done and you are doing in our midst. We come to thank you for your presence that we can sense and feel. Thank you for bringing comfort to your people in Zion. As we go, Lord, into your word, we thank you for the covering of our fathers over the house in this house that has created this atmosphere for us to honor you, to worship you with our lives. Indeed, you deserve all the glory as we go into your word. My Father and my God, I humble myself under your mighty hand. I ask for mercy to be faithful under the covering of my Father. As I have to bring a word in season, I trust you for utterance to open my mouth to speak boldly as an oracle of God. As the word goes forth, you will break yokes, you will meet needs. Cause glory to God in the name of Jesus Christ and blessings unto all the sons of men. And Lord, you will help us as the word goes forth. You will cause our will to become more humble, our minds to further enlighten with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to further control by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. As we pray, Lord God, as we go into your word, I'm trusting, Lord, for men to be faithful. Help to redeem time to say things that are necessary. Holy Spirit, Lord, I lean on you for help. Help me to redeem time. Come and glorify Jesus. I set you up my right hand as we go into your word this day. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for all you are doing in our midst this afternoon. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you. The title of my message this afternoon is The Laborers Are Few. Let's say it all together. The laborers are few. Let's open our Bible book of Luke chapter 10 and read verse 2. Luke chapter 10 verse 2. Please put it on the board. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Please keep on praying that music in the background. Praise the Lord. Let's read together. Therefore, saith he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but what the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he what? Send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's say together, the harvest is great, plentiful. It's truly great, rather. But the laborers are few. This has always been the problem in the body of Christ. Here the master was talking to disciples before he sent them out. He looked and he said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. That is, as we can all see in around the world at this time, we can see that the harvest is really great. Even in the midst of where we walk, people are yet to be born again. They don't know God. Those that know God are born again are not growing spiritually. So even because the harvest indeed is great, but yet you have what? Few laborers. So he points our attention to the situation. We're in the harvest time. But he also says that the problem we have now is that laborers are few. And he said that the solution is for us to pray that God, the Lord of the harvest, will send what? Laborers into his harvest. Praise the Lord. Let's my Bible's go of John chapter 4, verse 35. We read from verse 35 to 38. I'll begin to explain. Thank you, Holy Spirit. John chapter 4. Are we there? So he was talking to the same disciples again and said, say not ye. Let's begin. Say not ye. There are yet what? 4 months and then come at the harvest. It so happens that this is September. Again, that Israel, in natural way, they will be celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. 4 months to the end of our own year. So say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then come at the harvest. Say, behold. Behold means look and see by revelation. I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are what? White already to harvest. Next verse. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. So it brings in two things here. There is he that soweth and there is he that reapeth. Next verse. So God is going to reward everybody. And hearing is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. Next verse. I sent you to what? To reap. Say to reap. That wherein you have bestowed no labor. Other men labored and you are entered into their labor. So what are we trying to say? Laborers in the Bible has two aspects to it. You have those that labor in terms of prayer. Those that sow. And then those that reap. The Bible says, sow unto yourselves in righteousness. And then you reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. So there are the two aspects. So what do I mean by this? What we are saying is that the two kinds of laborers that you have, to redefine it again, you have what the Bible calls the plowman. Say the plowman and the reaper. So who is the laborer? Let's just go straight to the point. The laborer we are talking about is not the reaper. We are talking about those that plow the ground for the seed to be sown. So what are the laborers that we're talking about? I'll just define that Lord gave to me. They are mature sons that labor with travail in prayer to birth into and also help to sustain the spiritual growth of souls in the kingdom. I'll repeat it once again. They are mature sons that labor with travail in prayer to birth into and also help to sustain the spiritual growth of souls or children or people in the kingdom. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Are we there? Let's go. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you always, say always, always, laboring fervently for you in prayer. So the kind of labor we are talking about is labor in prayer. That is what distinguishes the plowman from the reaper. So God is sending laborers into his harvest in this end time. That you may what? Stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That means the Epaphras does not labor fervently in prayer. Those under him will not stand perfect in the will of God. That has to do with the leadership of the church. And then those that God has put under you, your children. Now, Pastor Colin was preaching so beautifully this morning. We're going to talk about some things about that God just showed me about Good Morning Jesus prayers. You need to bring your family in. It's not religion. You need to bring everybody in. We're going to see as we continue. So, for us to stand in the will of God, perfectly in the will of God, there needs to be people or you yourself laboring in prayer. Or else you will not be laboring as God will want you to. And then you may not be able to stand perfect in all that God has designed. We will stand perfect in Jesus' name. So, as we continue, like I said, why are they few? Let's ask, why are the laborers few? You see, in my walk with God, I've seen even in this church, those that labor are very few. So, it's not because this is God's design. God wants everybody to be laborers. But only a few people that labor. We're talking about praying now. So why is it that there are few laborers in God's vineyard? This is all over the world. I put the first ring because it is not a public ministry, but an inner chamber ministry. It's not a public ministry, but an inner chamber ministry. The master said, when you want to pray, shut the door. And your father seeth in secret, will reward you openly. But you see, when you shut the door, nobody knows. However, you wake up a good bye before dawn, whatever your person is sleeping, spiritually or physically, and then you shut the door, you go to a solitary place, and then you pray. That is an inner chamber ministry. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. You don't need to turn there. And the second reason why the laborers are few is that only a few Christians, as an act of their will, choose to walk in the straight and narrow way that leads to eternal life in the soul and in the body. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. Matthew 7, 14. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Because, let's do that. Because straight, say straight. Straight, straight is I think we'll say the straight. It's not like a straight road. Constricted. But say straight, because straight is the gate. And narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. That means it is hidden. The road that leads to perfection, or to the fulfillment of our destiny, to be conformed to the image of Lord Jesus Christ, is very straight. It's constricted, like Pastor tells us. It's very tight. You have to really strain to get inside that road. The road that leads to what? Life. Not life to get born again, but life in your soul and in your body. Romans says that we are saved by his life. It's straight. So you already understand why many people don't go to that in that direction. But God has said something in this end time. He said, pray. Church, pray. I will send laborers into the harvest. Because it is great. Praise the Lord. So, I put it here. Open to Luke chapter 13, verse 24. In Amplified. It's straight. The laborers that God has sent into are his sons. Into the vine, and those that are under them. Luke chapter 13, verse 24 in Amplified. Let's read together. Strive! 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 That means there's an opposition to what? To enter by the narrow door. Force yourselves. Say, force yourselves. Do it. For many, I tell you, will try to enter. I will not be able. Say, force yourself. It takes spiritual force. to get into what we are talking about. Why? Job 40:16 says, lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. How come the master cried on the last day of the feast? Feast of Paracels. He said, Bible says he cried with a loud voice, whosoever is thirsty, let him come and what? Drink. For out of his belly is never shall flow rivers of living water. Bible says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers, supplications, strong crying and tears unto him that is able to save him from death, and it was heard, and that he feared. Though he was a son, yet learnt the obedience by the things which he suffered. Just follow me. We're going to get to something today. We need to set some controversies in our hearts about how we can get this job done. Now, you see, you can be a reaper. If you're a reaper, that does not make you a plowman or a laborer. But if you're a laborer or a plowman, you'll be a reaper. Because where the master was, in the context in which he spoke, was at that Jacob's well. He was reaping one of the harvests of the end time in his own time, that woman. And when he spoke that something, he said, look, so you guys, you are saying that the harvest, he said, look, the fields are already white too. That's when he spoke what I read earlier on. But God says God wants us to all be laborers. Because once you are a laborer, it guarantees you are a reaper. Praise the Lord. See, that is the problem we had in the church today. Few laborers, but too many reapers. Many churches over the world, but no impact. We'll get to something today. I'll read it when we get there by the grace of God. God does not want conversions. He wants births. There are many people in the church today that are converts, but they can't stand. God wants births. That's why the Bible says that as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth. That means before Zion traveled, she wasn't bringing forth. But as soon, say as soon. As soon. Let me give you an example. If I'm trying to do something, I'm not getting it. Like plug my phone to charge. Once I plug it and there's current, we say, Moshe Tonye, no chair shisha. You can find to say? Immediately I plugged in, it started working. Said as soon as Zion prayed in tongues. As soon as Zion prayed in the understanding. Bible says God has magnified his word above his name. Let's move on. So what are we saying? I put it here. I said the plowing of the ground, which is the heart, Mark chapter 4, will determine the seed, whether it will come to full maturity at the time of the harvest. Because the problem with the heart is that there are thorns there. So if you don't plow the ground, those thorns will grow and choke the word. So I say it again, God does not want converts. He wants births. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 3. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for covering. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 3. Are we there? For thus said the Lord, to the name of men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Let me move on. We should understand that because of time. Say, break up your fallow ground. That means if you don't break up your fallow grounds, you'll be sowing among thorns. And if you sow among thorns, those thorns are going to stand up one day and choke the harvest. Or convert the wheat to tears. No fruit. So you see what God is saying? This time is end time harvest. It's not going to be like the other ones. Because the church has lost a lot of the harvest. This is the end time generation that will bring in the harvest, disciple the nations, and enclose the age. We are not going to lose this end time harvest. It is the final harvest. And God raised up an army of intercessors, like Pastor Kuni was preaching so beautifully this morning. So that's why it says that in Mark, you don't have to say, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Why? The honesty of the heart of those people, and apart from that, because they must have plowed the ground. I put something there because I had to go. studied a bit what Papa Higgins said in one of his books, Interceding Christian. Said that the reason that too few people are saved and that a lot of conversions never amount to anything is that God does not want conversions, He wants births. And he quoted Isaiah 66, verse 8. And in that place, he spoke about a man called Father Nash. I read about it. I also checked on the website. In Charles Finnish was a revivalist in those days. It is on record. You can go and check the website. It's on record. Google it. Father Nash, Father Daniel Nash, dead now. That since the time of the Apostle Paul, to the present date, nobody has the record that that man had in evangelistic ministry. Even they compare D.L. Moody. So Benny Hinn, anybody. He said, because out of all the converts, comparing the time of D.L. Moody, he said, 50% did not stay faithful to God until the end. But in Charles Finney's ministry, over 80% stayed faithful until the end. Epaphras, Father Nash. The secret of Charles Finney's ministry was because he had a man, semi-retired for ministry, called Father Nash. Daniel Nash. Anytime the man is going to minister somewhere, they will go somewhere, fall on their faces, and be traveling in prayer. The question is this. Does God want us to give birth? Or does he want us to give birth? Follow my thinking. They will intercede and pray with groanings and traveling and traveling and traveling. Then Father Charles Finney comes. Miracles take place. People, without him preaching at all, the man doesn't use any form of sensationalism. No placards, nothing. He just comes after Father Nash have labored. They just come. The man just preaches a very simple message. And the whole town gets born again. All the bare joints, so to speak, that we call it in present day, they close down. Not because he preached to them, but because the Holy Spirit, through their interceding, has invaded the air. You see, the contention in our nation, the contention is in the air. There is sin in the air, but when we, that is what revival is. When we fill the atmosphere with the life of God, the same life of God that is making you walk in the Spirit, begin to influence the minds of people that are not born again. They begin to behave very well. That is the key. But you wonder, we pray so much, how come we've not seen revival? Because this is where the work in love comes in. It will not take your love work to sustain what I believe is there. So, it's on record that after a few weeks after Vadanash died, Charles Finney went back into normal pastoral work. Why? Because the generator had been switched off. Go and check it. It's on record. So I put it here as we continue. See, why is this message important to us in this day? We know we are in a time of harvest and it's great. Point number one, the plowman in this day shall overtake the reaper in this end time harvest of the nations. The reapers have gone ahead with all their branches everywhere. The plowman is about to overtake the reaper. Let me let you understand this. By the grace of God, I stand here to the under covering. But I recognize that it's not because I prayed. Even though I'm praying, there's a prayer of the fathers in the background that crazy apples. You need to understand that. It's not theology. It's like you send your child to school, like these children. They give them, or in those days, where they give them pocket money. So how did he get the pocket money? Did he work for it? It was given to him. So when he starts buying this and buying that, he must recognize his father that gave him. It's so simple. Covering is so simple. Once you understand it, it's easy for you to honor covering. Because if they don't give you, you are going to beg in school. Those are the Toro Gary. Please, they say, please, can you give me some Gideon sulfate? But thank God for fathers that stand in their place, that give us and give us. Understand. Let's move on. Amos chapter 9, verse 13. Amos, I said, it's by coming to that the plowman will overtake the reaper. Now, there will come a time for that child also that will begin to walk home. You can't be under covering, so to speak, getting pocket money all the time. In the Old Testament, there was a time that when they entered the promised land, the manna ceased. So God said, okay, you will eat, but when you get there, you now have to learn to plant and water and then to reap. That time will come to everybody. It's coming already. That was okay. We've enjoyed this covering. But now, you to learn to take your seed, put it in the ground, plant it, water it. That's what happens when God starts bringing you. Oh yeah, you to now go and study, pray, receive a message, go and share. No more manna. It's there, but it's not there. I follow what Maharaj has to say. So Amos 9:13. Behold, they say, behold, the day has come, saith the Lord, the day has come, that the plowman shall what? Overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that sweareth seed. And as a consequence of this occurring, are you following me? The mountain shall what? Drop sweet wine, and the hills shall melt. Next verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I will bring again, say, I'll bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. Notice it is because the plowman is, that means before they overtook, these things could not occur. Are you following me? And they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. And they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. Next verse. Next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I will plant them upon their land. And they shall no more be pulled out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord of hosts. Let me just explain how God will do. Three things will occur as a result of plowman overtaking the reaper in this end time. Point number one is this. The mountains will drop sweet wine. What does that mean? Well-refined revelation. The ability of the mind of Christ. It is that will cause the hills to melt. Talking about solutions to problems facing humanity. Case in point, Daniel. There's an handwriting on the wall in every nation today. Problems they cannot solve. So the mother of Bethesda said, there's a man in your father's kingdom who is able to solve riddles, who has the ability to interpret dreams. There's an excellent spirit in him. Daniel chapter 5, verses 11 to 12. We don't need to turn there. We all know that story. There's an handwriting on the wall of everybody today, which it will take somebody like Daniel, a man greatly beloved, to interpret it. So the second thing is, it says that same verse, the next verse says, I will bring again the captivity of my people. What are we talking about? Nobody is in captivity physically, but spiritually. This talks about spiritual and material prosperity, spiritual growth. Remember Paul said in the book of Romans, he said, I discovered as a law warring in my members, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death. So I'm talking about physical captivity. Or is there anybody that locked somebody up in his house today? No. He said that the pastor preaches, our sons shall be like plants. Go up! The ability for people to grow will come. People will begin to grow because the plowman has overtaken the reapers. And as a result of that growth, what will happen? Praise the Lord, Holy Spirit. And I will plant them, say, I will plant them upon their land. And they shall no more be pulled out. I will make him a pillar in my temple. I will go no more out. 1 Peter 1 says, if you do these things, you shall never fall. There is a place in Christ as a Christian that can stand and don't fall. It's in the Bible. He said, I will plant them in your land, and no one, Satan, can move you out. The loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, the pride of it cannot move you. You'll be standing. Why? Because this is the end time generation that will close this age. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, the second point I have here is this. We're talking about the why. Second is, God is sending mature sons to the end time harvest of the ingathering of the nations who will birth and have the capacity to keep the harvest. You see, any 15-year-old can get pregnant and give birth. Or can they raise up a child? It's a different story. You can witness to people, they can get born again. From my experience, I witness to many people. Muslims, they will baptize. And the next time I see them, say, they are serving the same. I wonder, but you spoke in tongues yesterday. Hasn't it happened to you before? In that book, Papa Igi said something, talking about traveling prayer. He said that there are some things, some people get born again or healed just by praying and believing they will, like he got born again or like he got healed. So, but there are some people that never get born again if there's no traveling prayer. Some people will never get healed except the church travels. After I got born again, God spoke to me. I was in prayer. I used to have this, people say travel is not God, it's of the devil. And you can't travel at will. God spoke to me, I was praying. He said, you are born by travel. And by travel you will prevail. So don't stop. had problems, I had issues. Under no circumstance should I be here today. Habits. So God said, look, you've seen how it is done. You begin to do it. I've got a spiritual toss to and fro. You say, it's not. They quote books from Kanye. They didn't read it. They didn't read it properly. They don't go and read the book. I have an experience. I'm not talking grammar. Let's do a little exercise. When I say pray, you pray. When I say stop, you stop. Pray in the spirit. Let's pray. Stop. Pray. Stop. Pray. Pray in tongues. Stop. So is it the Holy Spirit that is praying or you? Hold it. Before you start saying that you cannot have it except you are moved. Why are you waiting for the movement of the water? Hold on. The master said something to them. He said, listen to me. He said something. You know what he said? When they were questioning him on things that shouldn't be questioning about, he said, let me ask you a question. The baptism of John, is from heaven or of men? Then they said to themselves, if you say it is significant, we will obey. That is what is happening. You pray in tongues now, you pray in tongues again. Pray in tongues. Stop. So he's controlling you. Is it part of you or God? No, you better be careful what you say. So don't blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. You better be careful what you say. So don't blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit. Did he say, listen, hold on. I will pray in tongues. Is that what he said? I will pray in the Spirit. Travel is prayer in the Spirit. And I will pray in the understanding. I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray in the understanding. You know the mistake that the church of God is making today? The same mistake they made in those days. They will begin to tarry for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 50 years, they don't get it. They are waiting for the moving of the water. For the water to be troubled. All fools, like Paul said. Foolish Galatians. Or the pop stuff, not to understand. Until Papa Egi came on the scene. And he began to pray. Say, God, why? They could not give him the wisdom, the technology. Then he could get people get born again. Pyam, 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 pyam. So why can't you go near the Spirit? He's your helper. You're not supposed to do the job. It's serious business. If you want to grow and fulfill everything, you better do it. There's a cry from the nations. Come over to Macedonia and help us. Who did they call? The man that said, my little young man, I paid him back again until Christ be formed in you. That's how we're going to get the harvest and keep the harvest. Why? Because strong men retain riches. So if you are not doing it, you are sleeping. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5. It's a harvest that son God has dedicated for sons. Are we there? Proverbs, please just follow. Follow after that 10, verse 5. Say, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Selah. Don't sleep spiritually. Isaiah chapter 49, read from verse 3. 49:3. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 49:3. Please let's double up. This was what Isaiah was saying. He said, and he said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel. In whom I have glorified. Next verse. Then said I have labored, they have labored. Because when he was laboring, the door was shut. So he looked at himself and said, God, people are not coming. What is going on? Because the door was shut. Says, I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for naught. And in vain, yes, surely my judgment is with the Lord. And my work, God, next verse. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. And now said the Lord, that formed me from the womb, to be his servant, to bring Jacob again. To him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Next verse. And he said unto me, this is the prayer that God gave, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserve of Israel. And I will also give thee, say, I will give thee, for a light to the Gentiles, and that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. The harvest is great, but laborers are few. So, the third point I have here is that God will give them the heathen for their inheritance because they have grown up and are growing up, so to others under them, spiritually, and have inherited the fullness of a spirit without measure. Have we ever asked this question? Why haven't you been able to receive the heathen with the earnest? It's a question we need to ask. Because it will take our inheritance of the spirit, that measure, to inherit the hidden. Psalm 2, verse 7. Psalm 2, verse 7. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm grateful. Are we there? Let's read together. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. So talking about sons here. Applies to Jesus. Applies to everyone that has been confirmed to his image. This day, say this day, I'll be calling thee. Now, the next thing. Next verse. Ask of me. You dare not ask. If you don't have the spirit, that measure, you meet for the devil. So after the glory, will he send me to the nations? Why not before? Thank God for what he's doing. We are talking about the end time harvest. That is great. Ask of me, and I will give thee the healing for thy inheritance, at the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Next verse. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Not a long message. How? Let's say how. How going to become laborers? It's very simple. I stood back there during the worship. The Lord spoke to me. We'll read and then we'll just close. It's that simple. Not a long message. How? Let me first of all put that so I don't forget. I don't have time to mention it. See, I said by daily using the blood, the word, and the spirit to walk in the straight and narrow way of self-denial that leads to life in the soul and in the body. That is how you become a laborer. You become a laborer by daily using the blood, the word, and the spirit to walk in the straight and narrow way of self-denial that leads to life in the soul and in the body. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. It's a straight and narrow way. So as you're under those that are doing it, like that little child that his father gives pocket money to go to school, are you following me? You begin to walk in straight. So when the parents tell that boy, this money I've given you, you must not use it to go and buy midi-midi. Follow my train of thought. The fathers will say, don't go to the house of Ahab. You get what I'm trying to say? So don't think about midi-midi. Midi-midi just means something sweet. So this money I've given you is supposed to last you to so and so time. And they keep on giving him until the time appointed of the father. So when the father, okay, they now take the man, they now take him after you've married. Okay, now you are on your own. Do you get my train of thought? But as long as that child is under that on your parents, they're the one that determine how much he gets. If he behaves well, they will get more. If he misbehaves, they will withdraw. You see, in those days, you take your bike and go and play around or something. I say, you are not riding that thing again. And they will lock it inside. When you repent, they say, okay, you can take it now. Don't run across the road. So simple. So why do you want to go and harvest the nations when you are still living on pocket money? Bold anointing. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4 as we begin to close. 2 Kings chapter 4. You see, that is why the good morning Jesus prayers is very important. Please just pay attention. God spoke to me just now. We're in a season that God is pouring out oil into the vessels. So how many vessels have we brought in? Let's begin to read. I believe that God will give you an understanding of what we're talking about. Let me give you the background. Elisha saw a woman and the husband and died and was owing so much money. Follow my thinking. There's so much prayer debt to be prayed for. So he says, okay, no problem. Go and get vessels. Bring them into the house. I will not a few. And then the woman, it was the one that poured the oil. It was the sons that brought the vessels. I followed my finger. I said, how many vessels have we brought into the room? Because it's going to be locked up. We're not playing games here. God is going to ask from you. How many people have we told about good morning Jesus prayers? I'm not advertising the church. I'm advertising purpose and destiny. Let's read and I explain. Back to verse 1. We're going to close soon. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you. Verse 1, please. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons. This is the ploy of Satan. If you don't pray the prayer debt, those sons will be taken captive. This guy was faithful. That speaks about the fathers that have died from Genesis up to present day. They left so much debt. Prayer debt. All the miracles that God did in the time of Moses, all those great things, even in the time of Elisha, they were not born again. He did it in his sovereignty. Bible says, God does not owe any man anything. That's why Paul cried and he said, I'm a debtor. You and I are a debtor. We can't bring in the harvest until we pay the debt. We have to first of all pay that debt before we can bring in the harvest. So next verse, what happened? Follow my train of thought. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? The prophetic God has come forth. And he said, what hast thou in thy house? Look at all the vessels here. When it was master that said, go and fill the vessels. What disciples he told at the feast of the Cana of Galilee in the third day. So he says, what? Elisha said, what shall I do for you, woman? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? Say vessels. If I vessel, I'll lift up your hand. Say vessels. So there's a prayer debt we must pay. What hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid. Say thy handmaid. Speaking about this prophetic ministry. Had not anything in the house. Save a pot of oil. Say a pot of oil. Next verse. All speaks about life of God, the anointing. Then he said, go. Say go, go, go. Go. But go borrow the vessels abroad. Of all thy neighbors. Say of all thy neighbors. Even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. There are many vessels that are empty today. That are mad. So-called Christians. No oil in them. Foolish virgins. Some had oil. You have oil. So go and pick those ones before the door is shut. And bring them to the upper chamber for prayer. Not a few. Say not a few. Keep borrowing them. Keep bringing the vessels. Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. And when they are coming, he was talking, the instruction was not to the son, so it was the woman, the handmaiden, that he gave the instruction to. I quake in my shoes. And when thou coming, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. Make sure you're a son and you are there. And shall pour. Who is going to pour? Who is going to pour? Shall pour out. Where am I? And shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Prophetically, what is going on? Oil is being poured every morning into empty vessels that you have brought in, that are joining that altar of prayer. And shall set aside which is full. Next verse. So she went from him and shut the door at the upper room of today upon her and upon her sons. So if you don't join in the morning, like was being said, I doubt if you're a son or you are moving towards becoming a son. Some people said, I don't have credit. We'll talk about you. As if there's a match that you want to watch, you not go to a viewing center. So look for a viewing center. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons. Who, what? It wasn't the maiden that brought it to. Responsibility of the maiden is to first of all fill the vessels in her, which has been done. It's a new season. We've been filled. We've been eating so much. Are you following me? We've been filled. It is now your responsibility to go to your neighbors and borrow and bring the vessels in. And they brought it to and who brought it? That's okay. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons. Who brought the vessels to her? And what she poured out, out of his belly shall flow rivers of the water. How do you pour? How do you pour, God? How do you pour? The Bible says that his voice was like the voice of many waters. As a groan from the throne. God does not want combat. He wants son. Don't be like Ephraim. Hosea 13, I can't remember. Hosea 13, someone put the amplifier. He said, he's come to the place of birth. But he doesn't have strength. People there can find it. We'll come back to this. It just came to my heart. Hosea 13, I think the last verse. Say, Ephraim is an unwise son. Please put it there. We'll not be wise children, unwise children. Please put it there because of time. It just came to me. I want to mention it. We'll stop now. Is there any friend? Pastor Bram, it's Hosea chapter 13, I believe. Either 13 or something like that. Is there any friend? Is an unwise son. Remember we talked about Proverbs, about the son that sleeps in harvest. There's those that are sleeping in harvest that are making the laborers few. Please find it and put it. I think it's Uzziah. He says, Ephraim is an unwise son. He says, come to the place of birth, but he does not know, he does not position himself to comfort. Are we there? Yes. He said, depends. Okay, put in previous verse. That's verse 12. 12 verses. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is hid in the soul and in the flesh. That's the problem. It's kept captive by the flesh. Next verse. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He's an unwise son, for he should not stay long, say stay long, in the place of the breaking forth of children. We have a very short time to finish God's assignment. First, we pay the prayer debt. After we pay, they can now go and harvest the nations. All the things like the pastor has told us that God has done in sovereignty. Somebody has to pray. You and I are debtors. Go back to 2 Kings 4. 2 Kings 4. Are we there? So he shut the door. And verse, next verse. And it was a woman that kept on pouring out. Next verse. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. So as you go home, bring me yet another vessel. There's still more oil to be poured. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. But the oil is not, there's too much to pour out. All the things we read that are talking about, you know, the weekly rema, the rema, is oil being poured out, especially in place of intercession. It's being poured out. So God is pouring to those vessels. You know why? Why did Elisha say, go and borrow vessels? It's very simple. All the vessels I'm looking at cannot pay the prayer debt. You didn't get what I said. Do you think everybody scared about us sitting here can pay the prayer debt from the time of Adam to now? No. We need more vessels. Go and borrow. It's a combination of those here and those that God is bringing in, that God will pour oil in. He now told me, I said, sell the oil, pay your debt, and leave. Next verse. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, and pay your debt. Prayer debt has been paid at this time, and leave thou and thy children off. Rest. Then the church will enter rest. That's the end of the message. Let's talk to God. Let me answer a question some people asked. Then for the verse, some just bow down. I'll just keep talking as the Holy Spirit helps me. Question number one. I can say with all confidence, with boldness, if the master did it, I better do it. Without travail, you can never enter purpose. Unless your purpose is going to heaven, then you go there quicker than the others. My little children, of whom I, Paul, travail again in birth until Christ be formed in you. It's so straight. It does not, you, what do you want to interpret? If I say pray in tongues, how you pray? If I say stop, you stop. So did you pray as you will, or as Pastor Dio here? So why can't you travel? Fill yourself with the life of God. Then you get pregnant. Then you travel. Or else you give an account for those in your neighbors that don't get born again. Some will not though, until you begin to travel. That's how I got born again. God told me. So I don't play with it. Let's bow down to pray. So the question I said wanted to answer me, say, okay, but I don't have credit. Exodus chapter 12, verse 4. You don't have credit, but you have your phone. Those of us that have the cash, sow to their lives, that's part of our evangelism, then load their phone so they can join, so nobody has an excuse. And if you don't have a phone, do what Exodus says. What does it say? And if the household, let's look one more time. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next door to him, his house, take it according to the number of his souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your can for the lamb. He's saying that, okay, if the thing is too small or you don't have enough credit, go to a viewing center. Do you know what I'm trying to say? I'm not saying go to a viewing center. I'm trying to say, yeah, go and join somebody that has. Because if you see as a matter of life and death, you will join. If you think it's just what me and pastor have designed, then you won't join. So that's the answer for you. those of us that I have, I'm saying that the abundance of some might meet the needs of the others. So those you have, I say, oh, I don't have, okay, don't worry. Go and load your phone, join. Why? Because all these very important vessels, and one day, when they ask and there's no more vessel, they will stop. Let's stand to our feet as a prayer. My hallelujah belongs to you. Please sing it, brother.
My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah.
Yes.
My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you.
You deserve it.
You deserve it.
You deserve it. Yes, Father, we worship you. We honor you, Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory and all the praise.
You deserve it.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
All of the glory. All of the glory.
All of the glory.
Let's lift up our hands. Lift up your hands and worship the King.
Everything I give is to you.
Everything belongs to you, Father.
All of the glory.
You have been bought with a price. We have been bought with a price.
You deserve it. Belongs to you.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give all the glory, all the honor.
Glory belongs to you.
You deserve it.
You deserve
it. The Bible says, lifting up holy hands.
You deserve it.
Lifting up holy hands. Worship the King. You deserve it, Father.
You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it.
All of the glory.
All of the glory belongs to you.
All of the glory.
All of the glory belongs to you.
We worship you, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. Let's put one hand on our hearts and lift the other hands to heaven. Then say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we're clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. We confess sins of omission and of commission, wherein we have been negligent to obey your word. We repent of a sin. We receive forgiveness and a cleansing by the blood of Jesus and a purging of our conscience from dead works to serve a living God. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, please have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that you desire to send laborers who labor in prayer with travail in this end time harvest. I come to enlist afresh as part of this end time army of intercessors under the covering of my church sons to bring in the harvest of the nations, raising up a perfect church in every tribe and tongue and kindred, and to give a befitting close to this age. Let's pray in the spirit. We break every yoke of spiritual slothfulness. We break that power. We rend the veil into two. But as the enemy brought God captive, we release it to the atmosphere. The spirit of grace and supplication. We release over everyone. The spirit of grace and supplication. Let us have a kind of a kufrin. Turn about. Oh, Masaraka. Let him have us home. Oh, Masalabori. Turn about Salaba Kufrin. In Jesus' name. Open your eyes. God spoke to me. When thou vow a vow, don't delay to pay. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All of the glory belongs
to. We give you praise, Lord Jesus. Thank you for covering. Give you all the glory, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Spirit, Triune Majesty. We thank you for this visitation by your Spirit and your Word, and lifting us up, giving us understanding of the times and the seasons, and what we ought to do. We thank you, Lord God, as you, Lord, remove our filthy garments. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a new mitre of holiness unto you. That we may stand in your purpose, perfect and complete in understanding. Thank you for new garments, Lord God, that will cause us to have, Lord, honor and to stand among those that stand by, pouring out the golden oil from our vessels, causing, Lord, vessels to be filled to come in the harvest. Pray in the depths of all your sovereign acts from the beginning of Genesis up till now. What a great honor. What a privilege. We thank you for our fathers whom you have used to open our eyes of understanding, to see the times and seasons that we are in and what we as Israel ought to do. To you belongs all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. We yield ourselves and our members as vessels, instruments of your righteousness, Lord, to perform all of your will and all of your purpose, that your kingdom may come, your will be done on earth, even as in heaven. All the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, our God, be unto you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join hands, please. So, Father, we are grateful. We come under the covering of our fathers in order, with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd and bishop of our souls in this house. We say, may the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord our God gives us peace. God makes his head and not tail. We're above only and not beneath. And so we prosper in all that we set our hands to do. We're at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ in the name of Jesus. The Lord also anoints us under the covering of our fathers with the anointings and mantles of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John, in Jesus' name, amen. Share the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at him and say, you are a debtor to bring vessels into the house of the Lord, to receive oil for the saving of the nations, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.